Miniseries here on the King James Bible, what is it, and the history of the Bible. What does history tell us? What are the facts about the King James Bible and the different traditions of the Bible and different translations of the Bible? We've come up to the period of time, we studied the Masoretic text and Masoretes that compiled the Masoretic text, which goes back, and that's the Hebrew Bible from the period of time between 600 to 900 A.D. The modern Bible that we have, the modern Hebrew Bible, is a Masoretic text. We have older texts than that, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, and then also the Dead Sea Scrolls, which may go back to nearly 1,000 B.C. The occupations of those people go back a long time before what we know as the Essenes there, and how much of the Bible that they copied. We come all the way down and we started seeing the transmission of the New Testament text, that it was written in the Koine Greek language, and that it was the Koine Greek actually ruled the world from somewhere around 330 BC to 330 AD. And after that, the Catholic Church began to denounce, after Constantine, a little later than that, Constantine had 50 Bibles, complete Bibles, commissioned, which we have three of, Codex Sinaiticus, Alexandrius, and Vaticanus. And then the Catholic Church got the idea that they were going to have the Catholic Bible in Latin only. And I also said in the other class that the Latin, the law or our legal language is of Latin. All the lawyer terms and all the law terms are Latin rather than Greek. The scientific terms are Greek. The medical terms are Greek. But the legal terms are Latin because of the power of the Catholic Church. We got all the way down to Henry VIII. Henry VIII took the churches in England away from the Catholic Church, denounced the Pope, told him he had no power in England, and by his own laws and edicts and proclamations, he became the Pope. And under him was the Archbishop of Canterbury. A man by the name of Miles Cloverdale, the Cloverdale Bible, in 1539, Thomas Cranmer, the Archbishop of Canterbury, hired Miles Cloverdale at the bequest of Henry VIII to publish the Great Bible. It became the first English authorized Bible for public use. Now, Henry VIII didn't have a change of conscience. He was in the process of killing a few women that he had been married to. And the Pope did not want to permit him to get a divorce from Catherine of Aragon. And he wanted to marry one of his mistresses, Anne Boleyn. Now, he was using two of those girls, two sisters, as his mistresses, but he wanted to marry Anne Boleyn. Anne Boleyn popped out a child that was a girl. So he made excuses to get rid of her, because he wanted to have a boy, a king on the throne, not a queen or a princess. Anyway, he denounced the Catholic Church, took over the churches in England, and it became the Anglican or the Church of England. He became the head of that church. Now, he didn't have a change of heart in that he wanted the people to have a Bible now, because they've been burning all the Bibles and killing people for having other than the Latin Vulgate, because now he is going to thumb his nose at the Catholic Church and he's going to give the people of England a Bible in English. Henry VIII, regarding the publishing of the Great Bible in English, his motives were not what we call it pure, but sinister. But sometimes God uses evil men to bring about his purpose, as he did Henry Day in the printing of the Bible in the English language. And also Hitler driving the Jews back to their own land. Henry VIII despised the Pope. And his first act and wishes were to divide the wishes of Rome by funding the printing of the scriptures in the first English translation, just for spite. In the ebb and flow of freedom continued through the 1540s into the 1550s after King Henry VIII was King Edward VI took his throne. This is the boy that he wanted to have. Then he wrote a liturgy for the Church of England. But after his death, we have a bloody woman, Queen Mary, a Queen of Scots, or Bloody Mary. It was the next obstacle in printing of the Bible in English. She was possessed in her quest to return England to the Romish Church. In 1555, John Thomas Matthew Rogers and Thomas Cranmer were both burned at the stake that her father had commissioned their Bible. Mary went on to burn reformers at the stake by hundreds for the crime of being a Protestant. This era was known as the Marian Exile, and the refugees fled from England trying to find a place to stay, a place they could stay alive. In the 1550s, the church at Geneva, Switzerland, was very sympathetic to the reformer refugees and was the only safe place and safe haven for a desperate religious freedom people. Many of them met in Geneva and were led by Miles Coverdale and John Fox, publisher of the famous Fox's Book of Martyrs, which is to this day the only exhaustive reference work on persecution and martyrdom of the early Christians and Protestants from the first century up to the mid-1600s. And as I said in the last, there is other books over there, History of the Baptist by John T. Christian, and also the Ecclesiastical Histories, the History of the Ecclesiastical Church of the Valleys of the Piedmont. And there's Eusebius and Philo also. The Protestants from the first century up until the mid-16th century, as well as Thomas Sampson and William Whittington, were with the protection of the great theologian John Calvin. Now, John Calvin's all right if you weren't an Anabaptist. He had one of them burned at the stake. See, all of the reformers believed in the church state and the doctrines of the Bible to be enforced by pain of death. Now, John Calvin was the author of the Calvin's Institutes of Christian Theology. And John Knox, the great former reformer of the Scottish Church, the Church of Geneva, determined to produce a Bible that would educate the families while they continued in exile. The New Testament was completed in 1557, and a complete Bible was first published in 1560 and became known as the Geneva Bible. It's also known as the Breeches Bible, from an antiquated term in the book of Genesis where Adam and Eve made themselves breeches or a covering or loincloths. So they referred to the Geneva Bible as the Breeches Bible. The Geneva Bible was the first Bible to add numbered verses to the chapters, so that referencing specific passages would be easier, every chapter was also accompanied by an extensive marginal notes and references so thorough and complete that the Geneva Bible was also considered the first English study Bible. William Shakespeare quoted hundreds of times in his plays from the Geneva translation of the Bible. The Geneva Bible became the Bible of choice for over 100 years of English-speaking Christians between 1560 and 1644. At least 144 editions of this Bible were published. Examination of the 1611 King James Bible shows clearly that its translators were influenced much more by the Geneva Bible than by any other source. The Geneva Bible itself retains 90% of William Tyndale's original English translation. The Geneva, in fact, remained more popular than the King James Version until decades after its original release in 1611. The Geneva holds the honor of being the first Bible taken to America, and the Bible of the Puritans and the Pilgrims. It is truly the Bible of the Protestant Reformation. Strangely, the famous Geneva Bible had been out of print since 1644, so only way to obtain one was either purchase an original printing of the Geneva Bible or a less costly facsimile reproduction of the original 1560 Geneva Bible. With the closing of Queen Mary's bloody reign, the Reformers could safely return to England, and the Anglican Church, now under Queen Elizabeth I, reluctantly tolerated the printing and distribution of the Geneva version of Bibles in England. The marginal notes, which were vehemently against the institutional church of the day, did not rest well with the rulers. Another version, one with less inflammatory tone, was desired, and the copies of the Greek Great Bible were getting to be decades old. In 1568, a revision of the Great Bible, known as the Bishop's Bible, was introduced, beside 19 editions being printed between 1568 and 1606. This Bible, referred to as the rough draft of the King James Version, never gained much of a foothold in popularity among the people. The Geneva may have simply been too much to compete with because of the accuracy of it. By the 1580s, the Roman Catholic Church saw that it had lost the battle to suppress the will of God, that His holy word would be available to the English in the English language and the language of the peoples. And in 1582, the Church of Rome surrendered their fight for Latin only and decided that if the Bible was to be available in English, they would have at least have an only source text that would propagate their doctrines and their views. And they went in to publish the English Bible called the Reims, or the Reims Douay version of the Bible, in 1609. In 1589, Dr. William Fulke of Cambridge published the first Fulke's Refutation, in which he printed in parallel columns the Bishop's Version alongside the Reims Version, the Douay Reims Version, attempting to show the error and the distortion that the Romish Church corrupted and compromised the translation and version of the Bible. With the death of Queen Elizabeth I came Prince James VI, King James of Scotland, became King James I of England. The Protestant clergy approached the new king in 1604 and announced their desire for a new translation to replace the Bishop's Bible, first printed in 1568, and they knew that the Geneva Version had won the hearts of the people because of its excellent scholarship and accuracy and exhaustive commentary and study. They did not want the controversial marginal notes proclaiming the Pope as Antichrist, etc. Essentially, the leaders of the church desired a Bible for the people with scriptural references only for word clarification and cross references, not contrary to the Church of England's doctrines. This translation was to be the end of all translations, for a while at least, and was a result of a combined effort of 50 scholars. They took in consideration the Tyndale New Testament, the Coverdale Bible, the Matthew's Bible, the Great Bible, the Geneva Bible, and even Reims' New Testament. The Great Revision of the Bishop Bible had begun from 1605 to 1606, and the scholars engaged in private study also, in private research. Between 1607 and 1609, the work was assembled in 1610 and went to the press in 1611. The first huge 16-inch tall pulpit portfolio, known as the 1611 King James Bible, came off the printing press. A typographical discrepancy in Ruth 3 and 5 rendered he instead of she, and in the verse in some printings, this caused the 1611 first edition to be known as the He Bible, and the revisions as the She Bible, starting just 1 year later. Finally, they began to produce a nominal size printing of the King James Bible so that individuals could purchase it and own their own personal copy, but it was expensive still. The Anglican Church's King James Bible took decades to overcome the more popular Protestant Church's Geneva Bible because it was biased. One of the greatest ironies of history is that many Protestant churches today totally embrace the King James Bible exclusively as the only legitimate English translation Bible. Many Baptists, when they came out with the King James Version of the Bible, were denounced. And they denounced it as a politically biased, twisted translation because of the idea of baptism or regeneration and the idea of the universal church instead of assemblies or congregations. Yet, the King James Bible is not even a Protestant translation. It was printed to compete with the Protestant Geneva Bible by authorities who, throughout most of history, were hostile to Protestants and killed them. While many Protestants are quick to assign the full blame of persecution to the Roman Catholic Church, it should be noted that even after England broke from the Roman Catholic Church in the 1500s, the Church of England, the Anglican Church, continued to persecute and kill and burn Protestants throughout the 1600s. One famous example of this is John Bunyan, who while in prison wrote that tremendous book called Pilgrim's Progress. And he was in prison for the crime of preaching the gospel. The second most printed book in the world is Pilgrim's Progress. Throughout the 1600s, as Puritans and Pilgrims fled the religious persecution of Israel, of England and across the Atlantic to the New World and sought a new free nation in America, they took with them the precious Geneva Bible, not King James. They rejected the King's Bible. America was founded upon the Geneva Bible, not the King James Bible. Protestants today and Baptists are largely unaware of their own history and unaware of the Geneva Bible, which is textually 95% the same as the King James Version, but 50 years older than the King James Version and not influenced by the Roman Catholic Reims Bible or the Church of England's State Church Bible. The New Testament that the King James translated admittedly took into consideration, nevertheless, the King James Bible turned out to be an excellent and somewhat accurate translation in some ways. And I was reading the King James Bible when I was saved. there's enough of the gospel there to get you saved. But when it talks about church and baptism, it's very biased. It became the most printed book in history, in the history of the world, and the only book with 1 billion copies in print. For over 250 years until the appearance of the English Revised Version or the New American Standard Version, it was reigned without match or much rivalry. The original 1611 preface is almost deceivingly included by the Bible publishing companies, and no mention of the fact that it really is the 1769 version of the King James Bible. It might hurt sales. The only way to obtain a true unaltered 1611 version is to either purchase an original pre 1769 printing of the King James Bible or less costly facsimile reproduction of the 1611 King James Bible. These are available, by the way. Although the first Bible printed in America was done in the native Algonquin Indian language by John Eliot in 1663, the first English language Bible printed in America by John Addington in 1782 was King James Version, and the people in America left England because of the persecution of the King James Bible owners, the Church of England. President George Washington thanked the printer of the first King James Bible in America and Robert's daughter Jane Aitken would become the first woman to ever print a Bible and do so in America. And of course, in 1791, Isaac Collins vastly improved upon the quality and the size of the typesetting of the American Bibles and produced the first family Bible printed in America. Also a King James Bible, or version. Isaiah Thomas published the first illustrated Bible printed in America in the King James Version. For more information on the earliest Bibles, you can go on the internet and look up all of this stuff. By the way, I have two pages of an original King James Bible printed in 1611. I don't have a complete one. I have a couple pages which I don't have with me here in Nevada. It's still in California. Noah Webster just a few years after producing his famous dictionary of the English language would produce his own modern translation of the English Bible in 1833. The public remained too loyal to the King James Version for Webster's version to have much impact on the public. It was not until 1880 that the England's own planned replacement for their King James Bible, the English Revised Version, would become the first English language Bible to gain popular acceptance as post-King James Version modern English Bible. The widespread popularity of this new English Revised Version brought with it another unusual characteristic, the absence of the 14 apocryphal books. Remember, as I told you before, the King James Bible, on pain of death, was never supposed to be printed in anything other than have the Apocrypha in it also. The Catholic Church and the Church of England both used the Apocrypha. Up until the 1880s, every Protestant Bible, not just Catholic Bibles, had 80 books, not 66. The Intertestament books written hundreds of years before Christ, called the Apocrypha, were part of virtually every printing of the Tyndale Matthews Bible, the Great Bible and the Bishop Bible, and the Protestant Geneva Bible and the King James Bible until removal in 1880. The original 1611 King James Bible contained the Apocrypha. And the King James threatened anyone who dared to print the Bible without the Apocrypha with heavy fines and a year in jail. Only for the last 120 years has the Protestant churches rejected these books and removed them from their Bibles. Modern-day Christians believing in myths many times about biblical printings and translations. Americans responded to English Revised Version with the American Standard Version in 1901. He was widely accepted in America and embraced by churches throughout America for many decades in leading modern English version of the Bible. And in 1971 is again revised version called the New American Standard Version Bible. Or the New American Standard Bible. The New American Bible is New American Standard Bible is considered by nearly all evangelical Christian scholars and translators today to be the most accurate word-for-word translation of the original Greek and Hebrew scriptures into the modern English language and has ever been produced. It remains the most popular version among theologians, professors, and scholars and seminary students today. Some, however, have taken issue with it because it's so direct, a literal translation focused on accuracy, that it does not flow easily as in conversational English. The New International Version was produced, which was offered a dynamic equivalent to translation in modern English. The New International Version was designed not for word accuracy, but rather for phrase accuracy and ease of reading, even at junior high school levels. It was meant to appeal to a broader cross-section of the general public. Critics of the New International Version often jokingly refer to the newly inspired version, but that has not stopped it from becoming the best-selling modern English translation of the Bible ever produced. In 1982, Thomas Nelson published and produced what they call the New King James Version. Their intentional intent was to keep the basic wording of the King James Bible to appeal to King James Version loyalists, while only changing the most obscure words, Elizabethan, thee, and thou, and though pronouns. This was an interesting marketing ploy. However, upon discovering that this was not enough of a change for them to be able to legally copyright the result, they had to make more significant versions, which defeated their purpose altogether. The New King James Version was never taken seriously by any scholars, but has enjoyed some degree of public acceptance. In 2002, a major attempt was made to bridge the gap between simple readability of the New International Version and extremely precise accuracy of the New American Standard Bible, and that was called the English Standard Version. And it's gaining popularity for its readability and accuracy. As Christians, we must look at Bible translations as looking for the most accurate translation. The best Bibles are Hebrew and Greek. Don't ever forget that. That's the Bible that's the language that the Bible were written in. The King James Version of the Bible so influenced other translations that many times they will not translate accurately phrases in the Bible. In Genesis 1 and 1, in the Hebrew it says, Barashit bara Elohim et hashamayim v'et haaretz. In one of the beginnings, it doesn't say in the beginning, as King James does. It says in one of the beginnings, God had created the heavens, v'et haaretz, and the earth. In Genesis 1 and 2 it says, v'haaretz, hatia tohu bohu. Lehoshuk El Panay Hamayim. Ruah Elohim Merpajeth El Panay Hamayim. And the earth she had become formless and void. And Spirit God mourned over the faces of the deep. That's what the Hebrew says. That's not what the translations say. I prefer the Amplified Bible in reading when I'm doing my Greek and Hebrew studies, as I read and give you the translation that I read from the Amplified Bible, because the Amplified Bible tries to bring with it the idea of the action of the Hebrew and the Greek languages. I have a little bit more to tell you about the King James Bible in our next class. But we'll quit here for this time. I hope that you're understanding the transmission of the Bible. It is an absolute miracle that we have a Bible in the world today. If it wasn't for the Catholic Church and the Islamic Empire, you wouldn't have any. Because both of them tried to burn all the Bibles they could burn and burn the people who were printing the Bibles and have pages out of the Bible. The reality of you having a Bible today in the language that you can read it is a miracle of God. God's providence over His Word. Many of the translations as King James are very biased. The King James bias is a politically biased Bible. In our next class, we'll understand that. We're going to read what the prefatory letter says. They denounce Catholics and denounce Baptists and Protestants. Both. And yet, Baptists and Protestants accept that today as King James only so many times because of ignorance, people. We'll go on to look at King James himself, and many people say that he was a homosexual. It doesn't matter whether he was a homosexual or not. In all reality, what is the Bible? What is the King James Version? What does the history tell us about that Bible? What is it? Very popular Bible, very popular book. Is it accurate? We'll go and look. Most King James only people believed in the Textus Receptus or Stephen's text. Stephen's text was a very poor Greek text, translated from the Latin Vulgate, not the original Greek manuscripts. The most popular and accurate Greek manuscripts today are the Nestle Aland text. Take the Nestle Aland Bible in the Greek Bible, and it's just like Paul, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John signed it. Tell you every little word there and the history of that word in that verse, or whether that verse is not there at all until much later fabrication in 7th and 800 A.D., 1100 A.D. We're going to look at some of this in the next class. Our Heavenly Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify You and Your Word and Your providence in protecting it. Father, forgive me where I fail You, and please educate Your people and make them grateful for what they have. And Father, those that are behind the curtains of Islam and Catholicism in the world, Father, I pray for them that You will uphold them in times of persecution and even death at times. In Jesus' name we ask these things for Your honor and Your glory. Amen.